The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics. And this week, I am joined by Eric, the Deep State Operative.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say at the jump that Mike Rains is the reason why there's so much political violence in this world.
It is. It's me. It's entirely my fault. It's my reckless, heated rhetoric that is causing all these things to happen. It's really bad. It's not great. It's suboptimal, even. So, anyhow, I had a silly little thing to talk about to start the show, because everyone loves talking about how AI is going to take over the world and how these large language models are conquering all our jobs and all that good stuff. So
yeah, I saw a documentary about it starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Biehn.
Yes, yes. Trust me, if you wanted to turn this into a straight Terminator podcast, I would be there for you. Boy howdy, do I have a thing or two to say about that movie. But I'll keep it short. I think my favorite thing about that movie is because it was like pre-internet and pre-understanding, how you would actually defeat a robot army led by a malevolent AI, that basically Michael Biehn, basically Kyle Reese, just tells Sarah Connor, yeah, your son won the war for us. And Sarah's doesn't ask how, and because if she did, Kyle would have just been like, we just won. I can't explain to you how squishy humans that take 9 months to breed and then 16 plus years to develop into a warrior are able to defeat nigh invincible robots coming off an assembly line, 3,000 a day. I can't exactly. We just won. We just won. Just accept it. Your son gave a great speech, the Rudy speech or something, and we all just went out there and beat the robots' asses. So just accept it. So I've always enjoyed that. There's no explanation for how humanity was possibly able to beat Skynet. They just did.
There was a video game that I played that came out a few years ago where you play as a guy who ends up joining the resistance, and you help John Connor conquer Skynet. And they don't really get in. I mean, you only see your piece of it, so they don't get into the full thing. But it looks like what their story was there was this whole army of Terminators marching shoulder to shoulder through California. And so because of that, Skynet had lower defenses than normal. And then during part of the game, you get your hands on some intel that this other guy is able to use to hack into Skynet to reduce the security even farther, so that a crack unit is able to sneak in and blow up the server that he's in. Because again, this is pre-Terminator 3, and he's not on the internet. He's just one big, freaking UNIVAC or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And again, even the idea of hacking really wasn't something that was present during original Terminator. So all that kind of stuff, it's just really funny. But don't worry, folks, next week will be the Terminator podcast, and we'll dig deep. FYI, all of Act 3 makes no sense. Inside the actual internal story of the movie and in reality, it just doesn't work. When I become famous, when I become a famous author and a creative visionary, they'll be like, Mike, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to rewrite Terminator. And they'll be like, why? And I'll just say, because the first movie was great, but it made no sense. Just give me the pen.
Well, the whole idea, I mean, we're talking about a movie where this robot that was designed specifically to infiltrate and blend in was modeled to look like a 6 foot tall bodybuilder with an accent thicker than Scottish fog.
Oh, yeah, all of that. Well, actually, that was basically Cameron twisted Schwarzenegger's arm into being the Terminator. It was Arnold had a great story where he was really getting intense about, yeah, the guy who plays the Terminator is going to have to do this. When they reload a gun, they have to not look at the gun at all because they're a robot and they know how to do it perfectly without even looking at it. And he's going over all these details, and Cameron said, well, Arnold, you just play the Terminator. And Arnold said, in Conan, I had 127 lines. I read the script for this. The Terminator only has 27 lines in this movie. I'm not going backwards. Because he was trying to be Kyle Reese. He wanted to play the protagonist. And eventually Cameron was like, look, man, we're going to make this work. We're going to make you big as the Terminator. It's going to be okay. And
I've heard a bunch of different versions of that, but they all start off with Schwarzenegger was supposed to be Kyle Reese and then end up being the Terminator. Because I've heard versions where Arnold was the one pushing to be the bad guy. And they're like, no, you can't do that. You're the biggest action hero in the world right now.
That's interesting. That's really interesting because, yeah. I mean, again, this story I heard was direct from Arnold. So, like,
well, I mean, okay, I never heard any story directly from him, so I guess I will accept, you know, the straight from the horse's mouth, as it were.
Right, right. Well, he just wanted more lines. He wanted a chatty killer robot. That's all he wanted.
Since we're talking movies, I heard this really cool story from oh my god, I forgot his name. The guy Richter from Total Recall. Ironside, Michael Ironside. He was, while they were filming Total Recall, they were in Mexico and his sister was going through chemo. And so he'd go to a payphone because this is before cell phone. So he'd go to a payphone every day to talk to her to see how she's doing. And one day Schwarzenegger comes up and asks where he keeps going every day. So he tells her, so he tells him what's going on. So Schwarzenegger says, well, come with me. And he brings Ironside. I feel like I'm saying his name. Is it Michael Ironside?
Yeah, it is Michael Ironside.
Okay. I felt like it was wrong for some reason. Anyway, sorry, I lost track. So he brings him to his trailer and gets on the mobile phone setup he's got there, calls up Ironside's sister and starts just like talking over the regimen and going like, this is what you got to eat. This is what you got to not eat and everything. And he said it just totally, changed her hell. She was doing so much better. She kicked cancer's ass and all that. And so, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, you hear some stuff about Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he had, you know, I mean, that was a damn good thing that he did right there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Good on you, Schwarzenegger. But I slowly moving back to the point of my story, not that it matters, but I mean, we're so off the plot here. Thank you all for listening. 5-star review, no. Twitter has me basically pegged for like the news I want to see. And its algorithm is pretty solid. So the algorithm popped up a headline for me. And that headline was Nick Jackson defeats Will Ospreay for the AEW world title. And if you don't know the pro wrestling, you'd be like, oh, there's some wrestling. And Mike's into wrestling. He's a grown man who watches half naked men pretend to hit each other. As you say, when you insult wrestling fans, it's okay. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But the thing about this statement is that none of it is true. So in WWE, the other wrestling company, the bigger wrestling company, there's a tag team called the Usos, Jimmy and Jay. And WWE decided, we're going to make Jay Uso a main eventer. We're going to make him a big ticket guy. We're going to put the company's backing behind him and let everybody know that Jay Uso is the man. And this wasn't really working out that well, but they were trying their hardest. And then one day, Jey Uso started working with the catchphrase yeet. All the kids love the yeet.
Oh, God. Thank you, because yesterday I saw somebody wearing a t-shirt that said yeet on it, and it had WWE, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
It's Jey Uso. And basically, he has music and then he hits the ropes and he does the yeet gesture and the whole crowd yeets with him and everyone loves the yeet. And they were able to parlay this popularity to give him a brief run with the world title. And he's the yeet man. Everyone loves themselves some Jey Uso. So now we move over to AEW and AEW has a tag team called the Young Bucks, which are Nick and Matt Jackson. And pretty much everyone has said that Nick Jackson of the two of them is the better wrestler. And if he ever decided to leave the tag team and wrestle by himself as a solo wrestler, he could have some success. But the joke is that he needs a dumb catchphrase like Jey Uso to seal the deal. He's got to have some dumb turn of phrase to really rally the crowd behind him. And the AEW fans, for whatever reason, had decided that what the dog doing would be what Nick Jackson would say to turn the audience to his side and everyone would love him.
That sounds like something like a 40-something-year-old at Executive Madison Street would make up.
Right, exactly. So it has become this internet meme of what the dog doing Nick Jackson, and there's all these like photoshops of him with the AEW world title and all this kind of stuff. And so this week, Nick and Matt did a backstage vignette on their YouTube channel. And in that vignette, Nick said, "What the dog doing?" And then he like rolled it over in his head and he said it again. And then he looked dead into the camera and said, "I think there's something there." So everyone freaked out. Everyone started posting all these memes. Everyone started talking about how he's going to main event the biggest show of the year for AEW, which is called All In, how he's going to win the world title. And originally everyone thought the Will Ospreay, the other person in that headline, was going to win the world title at All In. But now everyone's like, "Oh, Nick Jackson, what the dog doing? He's going to win the belt. Oh, he's going to be the champ." So Twitter's algorithm just sees all this nonsense about Nick Jackson winning the AEW world title and beating Will Ospreay and taking the title shot away from him. And it's limited intelligence tries to make sense of it all. So it says Nick Jackson beats Will Ospreay for AEW world title. And neither one of them are the world champion. They have not had a match. None of this is remotely close to being true, but the algorithm and the AI just got tricked by everyone running with this joke for as much as they did and having it go viral in wrestling Twitter, that the AI just belched this out. So we're much unlike humanity under the thumb of Skynet. Humanity currently is not in danger of being defeated by the AI anytime soon, because the AI doesn't know what's going on and just regurgitates the words it sees from all these people writing stuff online. And thusly, we get a headline that is 100% inaccurate and not remotely true. So that was just absolutely like incredible. Just chef's kiss, the misinformation that was created by that AI.
And "I'll be back" is a much better catchphrase too than "Who let the dogs out?" Rotor was, he said.
What the dog doing? So originally the meme was some guy is like holding out some mints and everyone reaches out their hand to grab a mint and then a paw of a dog reaches in and the guy goes, "What the dog doing?" And then it just fades out. And that was the original "What the dog doing?" And it's now the official, not official catchphrase of a guy who's probably never going to actually use it, but it's very funny. So
that's kind of like in the Fantastic Four movie where Ben Grimm keeps walking around saying that it's clobbering time. It's just from the cartoon. That's not my actual catchphrase. And then at the end of the movie, he gives in and says it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's, yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, yeah. So nothing interesting happened this week, and I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We're done. We can wrap it up here, yeah.
Yeah, that's so, you guys were here for Terminator and wrestling.
Yes, that's what you came for. You might have wanted to hear about some idiot, like, sort of, kind of, maybe, trying to shoot at Trump. That was a thing that happened. It's really funny how absolutely no momentum came about from this. I mean, it's really, it just goes to show you how dug in everybody is about Trump now. There's like really nothing that's going to move the needle on Donnie at this point. We're on year 10 of dealing with Donald Trump, actually year 11. He probably came down the escalator in 2015. So we're in year 11 of Trump at this point. We all know what we think. We're either for him or against him. And there's no sympathy for him this time. Because, I mean, at least the first time that he got shot at, he had a cut and there was like some blood and it was dramatic.
Right.
This was.
And it was surprising.
Yeah. And it was a shock. Oh my God. Yeah. Someone took a shot at him. Now it's like, yeah, this guy was like three rooms over and got grabbed by Secret Service before he even got anywhere near him. And whatever, who cares? Like, no one was in any danger. Wolf Blitzer was busy talking about his firefight in Nam. I mean, just
there was that one guy. There was that one guy who was just sitting there, just continuing his dinner while everyone else was fleeing for their lives.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, you had Stephen Miller using his pregnant wife as a human shield.
Well, from what I've seen, that was actually a photo that just made it look that way from like the angle it was taken at. Because I did.
Oh yeah, I'm sure of that.
Because I saw a video that the picture came from, and he is clearly herding her away from what he perceives to be danger. Right. But I've also seen video of RFK Jr. saying "fuck this, I'm out of here," and his wife being like, "hey, come back, Bob."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I've lost what I was going to say. So you go.
But the thing that was so galling about it, I mean, the thing that's, it's just one of those, you just go on the online and literally everyone is just, oh my Lord, just no one's being remotely open-minded. No one's being objective. No one's talking about this. It's
staged or proof that you need a ballroom. That's the only two opinions I've seen so far.
Well, there's an adjunct to needing a ballroom, which is we need a ballroom and we also need to kill all the liberals. Oh, I mean,
yes. The only way to stop the violence is with violence.
The only way to stop, like, the liberal has proven themselves to be a violent savage that cannot exist in a civilized world, so we need to put all the liberals to the sword, and that is how we're going to, that's how we're going to fix all of this. Once we've killed all the liberals, then we will have peace and prosperity, and we will have a new ballroom.
It kills me though, the shift that we went from liberals are a fear to guns to we got to take the guns away from liberals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of that. I mean, it's truly incredible that this is the dichotomy, is that liberals are like violent, murderous scum who are also cringe, normie,
panty waste
shit libs who will cower at the sight of like violence, like the whole existence of the liberal is timid fear. I see all these videos and tweets and stuff about how the women are so easily manipulated because they'll do anything for safety. The woman is a stupid creature that will do anything for safety. She will sell us out so fast. And then when the misogyny wasn't enough, they decided to just make it the liberal. Just the liberal will sell us out for safety. They will do anything because the liberal, if it is a male, is weak and pathetic. And if it's a woman, women are naturally just smaller and weaker than dudes. So if you sell them a bill of goods about how you'll protect them, they'll vote for you. And then you can steal all their rights and all that happy horse shit. It's just whatever you need to say the people that vote Democrat are stupid and bad and I hate them. It's just, yep, great.
I mean, it's gotten way worse than just stupid and bad. It's like the people who vote Democrat are demonic, baby eating, Satan worshiping, you know, crack smokers who hate life, hate you, and will murder you the second you turn your back on them.
Oh yes, exactly. Oh, that is my favorite thing about all of this, is just the idea that some guy making a run at Trump is actually evidence that liberals writ large wish to kill conservatives writ large. My boy Jacob, who I'm always reposting, clandestine, the guy that had a mental breakdown and God told him that Trump would not leave office after losing to Biden.
While having sex with a woman.
That he stopped having sex with her when she was like, hey, wait a minute. I like the idea that the sex was so weak that she was like, wait a minute, did you vote for Trump? Like, I just, buddy, you need to, if she's thinking about that in the moment, what are you doing?
That, that's lie back and think of England kind of stuff right there.
Yes. Like, what are we doing? I mean, oh my God. So anyhow, our boy Jacob wrote, well, unsurprisingly, the shooter is a deranged left-wing lunatic from California, so this story will disappear rather quickly. It also feels like people have become desensitized to the insanity. We have just accepted that left-wingers are violent psychos trying to kill us. It's like, who's trying to kill you, Jacob? Jacob lives in Virginia, the state we're going to talk about a little bit later. Virginia, just absolutely crackling with liberals. Jacob has doxxed himself. He's posted his photo of himself online. So I don't know how Jacob makes it to and from his house about being just assaulted day and night by the crazed liberals of Virginia yearning for conservative blood.